arrive at the first Sunday of Advent. So a gentle public service announcement. If you have not already looked at the bulletin, be aware that there'll be changes up for the season, but everything should be very familiar to everybody. So let us welcome everybody, and let us begin with the words printed in our bulletin. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I have made.
The Lord is our righteousness. Let us wait with hope and expectation.
And I invite all who can stand to rise, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who opens the heavens and draws near to us with salvation.
Amen.
God is patient and merciful, desiring all to come to repentance, trusting the promise of grace. Let us confess our sins. Everlasting God, you love justice
and you hate wrongdoing.
comfort over courage. We are perilous with creation's bounty. Look upon us with mercy. Turn our hearts again to you. Make us glad to do your will and to walk in your ways for the sake of our waiting world. Amen.
Hear these words of assurance. God clothes you with the garments of salvation and covers you with the robes of righteousness. In the tender compassion of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. God's covenant is eternal, and God's blessings rest upon us all.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For your people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, and defend us, O God.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And now we light this one candle, our first candle in Advent. We light it on our journey now. We light it in hope while we wait.
Let the light that is sharp and clear.
and come.
By your merciful protection, alert us to the threatening dangers of our sins, and redeem us for your life of justice. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Now we invite our children forward for children's message. How are you guys today?
Good.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Good.
Well, today Jesus is talking about signs. And do you have any signs in this room that would point to a different season? No? There's nothing
there.
The wreath. So what does
Christmas.
The wreath is a sign that Christmas is coming. So if we look for signs, we can get a message. But what other signs do we see in our daily life?
Stop signs?
Oh, yes, you read my mind. When you see this sign, what does it tell you?
Stop.
That tells you that there's a stop coming up, right? But there's other signs we can look for. What does this sign tell you?
Yield.
Like, same thing. Like, you're driving, you see this sign on the road, you know you gotta start slowing down, right? And if you're at your favorite restaurant and you see this sign,
no parking.
You're going to have a little walk to get dinner, right? So we see signs all around us every day. And Jesus today is talking about the signs that you know God is with you. And you know what signs those are. Yeah, we got some signs up here. Yeah, we got our banner signs, right? Our four lights, our four Advent candles, hope, joy, peace, and love.
In that picture,
yeah. What about in your everyday life? Do you ever get sad?
Yeah.
Do you ever have hardships? And Jesus today tells you, those are signs that God is with you. Do you know, are you ever hopeful? Happy?
Yeah.
Those are also signs God is always with you. So whatever you do, whatever mode you're in, whatever mood you're in, you know that God is with you. So I'm going to give you the final sign today that God is always with you. And that is the sign of a mirror. So if you look in this mirror, it's a sign of where God is. Let us pray. I know it's not a real mirror. But you go to a real mirror. Let us pray. I got up here and bring our hands together. 1, 2, 3. Dear God. Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for always being here.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, you're off to Sunday school.
Good morning.
Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33, starting at verse 14. Hear now the word. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm can be found at page 5 of your bulletin, and we'll read it responsively. I'll read the light print, and you can respond with the dark print. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way.
All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies.
Our second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at the 9th verse. Hear now the word. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before God, before our God, because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Among nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your head because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, friends, I knew it was going to be a short week, so I've been working on this sermon for a couple of weeks. Going to talk about a surfboard, the apocalyptic moment, and connect them all into our text. But early last week, Monday and Tuesday rolling around, the news of Jeanette, that sermon didn't quite seem appropriate. So I've had to switch gears, so I'm a little discombobulated today. But I hope you have all had a a good Thanksgiving. And now we stand at that moment of Advent with a bunch of mixed emotions. But you've been here before. My first Advent here, we were hit the first week of Advent with the news of Pastor Jane. The year before that, you journeyed with Pastor Shelley. And I know in the history of this church, there's probably many more of those moments. And that's not to exclude the personal losses that you all share in your own history on Advent. So we come to this moment and we ask ourselves, how do we deal with the way our culture wants us to celebrate Christmas? Once Thanksgiving hits, right, everything shifts. And our expectations are to jump headlong into the eggnog, to belly flop into the holiday punch, to have joy, joy, unimaginable joy for 25 days. But I don't think sometimes it's really joy that our culture is pushing us to, but escape. We want to pretend, at least for this month, that everything is okay with the world. And it's a pretension that really doesn't last. It's a pretension that leads to the 25th, so when the 25th comes, we are almost glad it's over. It's time to pack up everything, put the tinsel away, and go back to the regular scheduled program. Now, I have said this story before, so I will not repeat it, but I will challenge you. Try to find a Christmas carol on the radio on the 26th of December. It's already over. It's already gone. We're done pretending. Friends, the wisdom of Mother Church is to approach the season not like our culture does, not in this headlong into the mistletoe, but to remember that in the wisdom of the church, our two greatest moments of celebration, both Christmas and Easter, are preceded by a time of preparation. We have Lent, and now we're in Advent. So friends, we're not in Christmas yet. We're in the time to remember why we need Christmas. And our ancient ancestors in the faith would actually fast for these 4 weeks. Now, I am not suggesting we do. But let us remember that they did. And that fast was broken on Christmas morning and then followed by 12 consecutive nights of feasting. And this is why we have the 12 days of Christmas. Christmas doesn't begin to the 25th and then lasts for 12 days. This, of course, is in contrast, as we've already talked about, on how we in modern America celebrate Christmas. We want it now, and then we get tired of it. But the point, I think, for maybe us this year, but the point of Advent always, is to prepare ourselves for the miracle to come. And that miracle doesn't make any sense if everything is perfect, right? If we pretend that the world is not broken, that the world is not cold, and the night is not long, that miracle makes no sense. Our central theme in Advent, and you're probably going to hear me talk a lot about candles in the next month, is this candle, the light of God coming into this world. This symbol really only makes sense in the middle of the night, when it is dark. If you don't believe me, I challenge you after church this afternoon, go looking around the neighborhood at all the Christmas lights. It's going to knock your socks off because it's not going to be spectacular. But go tonight, and there's a different image. Advent is not an escape from the world. It's saying that the world is in need, that loss is present to us, that the night is closing in. And it's in that moment of realization that we light the candle. Are some of our favorite Advent moments in Scripture. Come when Isaiah cries out, "Comfort, comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem that her sins have been paid." That's only spoken to those who are sitting, as the psalmist says, by the river Babylon. It's spoken to the exiles as they are trying to deal with the loss while dealing with the reality of the world. And it's to that moment that hope is born. And later in that verse, after the comfort, comfort, we will have that line. We almost never read it in the church. But the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And if you're paying attention, Jesus quotes that in our gospel text. Heaven and earth will fade away, but my word will last forever. Jesus is connecting himself to the promise of Isaiah. The promise that in this moment, the one who will speak the answer to the world of night, to the world of sin and death, is Christ. And it is now this in-breaking reign of the light of God in our lives that is not only the answer, but we get to participate in that. We get to be the agents who work towards a new creation. It's because the night is long that the light comes. And the light embarks from us into the world. And friends, I wrestled with telling this story, but I'm going to tell it anyways. I got to see this light breaking in. There's this great, wonderful mystery that pastors get to experience. And I've experienced it many times, and each time it almost takes my breath away. But it's to be in the presence of someone near their last moments. And they're almost completely unresponsive. And Jeanette was very much like that. She could acknowledge our presence. She could say a few words here and there. The nurses were able to come in and they'd ask everything in very simple questions that she could respond with just one word. And we sat mostly in silence, just being present with her. But the time came for prayers. And we said some prayers, and I led the room, everyone there, with the Lord's Prayer. And immediately, Jeanette began to say the whole prayer. It's that mystery. I will spend maybe my rest of my career as a pastor trying to contemplate that moment where you can see the in-breaking of the kingdom in that moment. In the moment of death, there is life. In the moment of our deepest night, that light. Friends, this doesn't lessen the loss. It doesn't take away the grief or the pain that we might share. But we journey not without hope. We grieve not without hope. And in Advent, we are invited into this night to light this candle, to know that God's kingdom is breaking in. will continue to break in, and we will be in the fullness of God one day. And this, my friends, is the true meaning of our Advent wait. The light in Christ has come, will come, and will come again. Amen.
As we prepare for Emmanuel, God with us, let us pray for all people and places that long for God's presence. God of righteousness, your people live in hopeful expectation of your coming. Fill us all in this, your church, with renewed passion for our shared mission. Deepen our relationships with other Christians and other faith traditions, both in our local community and across the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the cosmos, all creation shows that your presence is near. Help us sense your goodness and love in the sun and moon and stars, in autumn leaves and bare branches and new growth, in the roaring surf, the high mountains, and in the quiet breeze. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God of the nations, your reign extends over all principalities and powers. Give leaders, especially those in power and those soon to assume power, hearts for justice and a passion for peace. Encourage efforts toward policies and laws that benefit all and work toward the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God of change, you accompany us through life's transitions. Be near to all who are changing jobs, moving, welcoming children, suffering illness, or facing loss of loved ones. Sustain those who are ill or suffering, especially Aaron, Joe, Fran, Eric, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Lael, Cameron, Marty, Tisha, Sabina, Rhonda. We pray also for our Savior Lutheran Church, for victims of recent hurricanes, and for those in the path of war around the world, especially in Ukraine and the Middle East, and those suffering from starvation and from all national and world disasters. In times of change, remind us of your steadfast and enduring love. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God of memory, we give you thanks for our faithful ones who have died. Tend to our grief and sorrow with renewed trust in your promise of abundant and eternal life. We pray especially that you comfort us as we mourn with those suffering deep loss, especially the family of David Cooper, the family of Jeanette Agri, the family of Dolores Bennett, and the family of Patty Littlehales. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God of community, your spirit holds us together. Sustain our care for one another. Inspire us to seek new ways to live together and to embrace diversities of thought, lifestyle, and identity in our shared communities. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Savior of the nations, come and receive these prayers and the pleas each of us offers in our hearts through the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
But I still have time.
invite us now to come back together and to stand for our offering hymn. Springs up from earth. Receive and bless these gifts of our own bounty. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness for all people, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Blessed are you for the birth of creation, Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promises to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. And blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. And we look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us, bless this meal, make your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people, fill us with your light, bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the gift. The table of God for all the people, and all are welcome to come forward and receive from this table. In just a moment, our ushers will come forward and we'll ask you to fill in our railing from right to left. And just a word of caution for those who are called, please be mindful of the Advent wreath. Now, you may all receive communion whichever way is most comfortable for you. Kneel, you may stand, just asking you come with your hand outstretched to receive the bread in your hand. And then the wine will pass around, and we'll ask you to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to come forward to only receive a blessing, you may come forward with your arms crossed. But know that all who come forward will receive, because this table is open to all. Amen.
Jesus, come and live.
Let us pray. Generous God, we thank you for the gift of life, for the bread of salvation. We thank you for coming among us, for leading us into peace. We thank you for showering us with mercy, for sending us into the world. Come, Lord Jesus, and go with us as we feed the hungry in your name.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, we are just going to pause for a little bit for announcements, and we've got a bunch of them. So kick it off. I'm going to invite Pete forward for an announcement.
Thank you. Last week, I got up here and talked to you about council meetings and council signing up for.
Turn the mic on.
Not on?
Or you're not close enough, one or the other.
Now?
Nope.
Let me go over here. How about this one? Anyway, I got up here and talked about the council meeting and the nominating committee and things that we need to do. And we had a council meeting last Sunday. And I know we haven't been very efficient about stewardship this year. And one of the things we found out during council was that our commitment letters that you should have received in your mailboxes or in the mail so that you could make your commitment for the year to the budget, which is with these commitments that we're able to do our budget and figure out what it is we can spend for the year. Well, last year, I think we had like 47 turned in, and this year so far we only have 33. So if you haven't filled yours out yet and you plan to do that, we would appreciate it if you would. Like I say, it helps us do our budget, and without that, that's how we know what we're going to do during the year. We have things, we've done a great job. You've done a great job this year, and a lot of people give without filling out the budget report. So the giving is wonderful. I mean, I'm one of the counters, and I know that on certain Sundays that we really do well here. And if you look on the bulletin board out in the hall between the bathrooms there, there's a financial sheet up there that tells everything about it. And right now, if you look at that, you'll see that our loan on our building is paid down to about half of what it would cost to buy a house in Newport. So we're in really good shape there. And we need to keep that up. So I ask that you pay attention to your pledges, and if you can do it, please do it and turn it in so that we can complete the budget and know what we can do for the coming year. Thank you.
And friends, in our words of the week, which is the inserts, have all of our calendars, have all the events coming up. We just want to highlight a few things. In Advent, we will be journeying on Wednesday evening for our Olden Evenings prayer. And we're going to move that this year up to 6 o'clock to see if that eases with getting people home before it gets too late. So Olden Evening will begin at 6 instead of 7. But also, in light of so we know some people can't journey at night, we are also going to open our sanctuary up on Wednesday from 12 to 1 for anyone who wishes to come in for silent prayer or reflection. The space will be yours. There'll be candles. The devoted candles will be available. I will have some devotional materials that are optional if you wish to use that. If not, just know this space is open for your Advent journey, if you wish, for some time for some quiet contemplation. I will also be available in that hour if anyone wants to talk to me. I'll be around. So that will be midweek, Next week, on the 8th, we'll be decorating our Christmas tree after service on the 8th. So we invite you all to participate in all of that, and also to invite you to bring a plate of goodies to celebrate that day. That'll be the 8th, we have midweek. We have Advent calendars, which are reverse calendars. It was such a hit last year, we went ahead and made them again. And the idea is, it's a reverse calendar. So for each day, you get an item to give to the food bank. You can put it in a little box, and then Christmas Eve, bring that in. These are at front to be handed out. And then finally, I know that's a lot, we also invite everyone to bring poinsettias for Christmas Eve to help decorate the church. Is that everything? Okay. All right. Let's prepare our hearts for the benediction. The God of peace bless you. The love of Christ sustain you in hope. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit remain upon you now and forever.
Blood boiling time.